We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, we have a very special day today on Exploring the Word. Hi, Alex McFarland here. And we wrapped up the book of Romans yesterday. Tomorrow is going to be very special. We will begin the New Testament book of Philippians. But right now, we're going to do something very special. I've got a couple of guests that I'm going to interview, and guests that will be very familiar to all of the Exploring the Word listeners. And this is for two things. One, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, but also that's also the time when the Fishbowl Retreat is going on. So I want to welcome two wonderful people to the Exploring the Word microphone, Reverend Bert Harper and his wife Jan Harper. They are with us now. Bert and Jan, welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. It's good to be with you, man. I heard you've had two good days, and so we're glad to be with you today, brother.
Well, it's really good to have you. I'll tell you, from where I'm sitting, the audio sounds a little bit garbled, and I'm hoping that'll smooth out just a little bit. Now, Bert and Jan are leading something called the Fishbowl Retreat, and I want everybody to be in prayer, because what Bert does, he ministers to the ministers, and Jan ministers to the wives of those ministry families. And it's very important, folks. Right now, I want everybody listening, if you're a part of a good church and you've got a good pastor, thank the Lord for your pastor, because a lot of churches don't have a minister. But Bert and Jan, for those that may not know, what is the Fishbowl Retreat about? And tell us about the one that you have in process even right now.
Okay, Alex, it started out to encourage young pastors and their wives in the ministry, and we had done that several years before we came on with American Family Association, and so we started the AFA Fishbowl Retreat in 2012, and the one earlier was for just young pastors and their wives, because we remembered how it was when we were so young. But it's been expanded to all ages, and we just have a great time. We see a lot of the pastors and wives that have been in the ministry longer ministering to the ones who haven't been. And so It's really a neat thing to watch happen during this week.
And Alex, let me say this. When we started the Fishbowl Retreat, the first year we were inviting all these young pastors and their wives to come for free. And I shared this vision with Don Wildman. Now, I wasn't connected with AFA for as a staff member. I was on the board serving. And Brother Don Wildman said, how much do you need to get those ministers and their wives at this retreat? And AFA funded the first Fishbowl Retreat before it became a part of the AFA ministry, brother. That's how God works.
Wow. Well, amen. I think one of the reasons the Lord blesses AFA is because of how they have helped a lot of ministries get up on their own two feet. But, you know, give us a little bit of your background. When you all, it was just, what a great testimony, many, many years at West Jackson Street Baptist in Tupelo and serving on the AFA board, and God has worked through y'all's marriage to impact so many lives for the gospel. What were some of the challenges that the Lord helped you through going through the years at West Jackson? And then what it did, it prepared you to help mentor others. But what are some of those valleys and victories you all experienced?
Well, first of all, let me give you a history before West Jackson Street. We were at a mission And it was connected with a local church, and we started there, and that mission was brand new. So we never heard the words. We've never heard done that again before, because everything was brand new, and that was awesome. Then we went to another church, and then I became a youth minister at West Jackson Street Baptist Church, and then I left, and then I came back as their pastor about 3 years later to be the pastor there, and again serving there. So our experience goes through small churches, medium-sized, and larger churches. It's been a great journey. But let me just say, I think Jan would agree, the most difficult part we have, and Jan, you can speak to this, is just let me share expectations. We've tried to learn our expectation is from the Lord, not from others. But Jan, expectations are tough, aren't they?
They are. And when I was a young pastor's wife, I married Bert when I was 20. So he had already started pastoring the mission, and the mission was the perfect place to start the ministry because, like Bert said, they didn't say, we've never done it this way before. They weren't into their traditions. And it was a lot of children there, and we loved it. We had such a wonderful experience there. It was, like I said, the greatest place we could have ever started. But, you know, as I got more into traditional churches, it was like I felt like I needed to be perfect or something because I didn't like to hear criticisms. But, of course, it was impossible because, of course, no one is perfect except Jesus.
Amen.
But I did struggle with the expectations and the feeling that I was too inadequate for the job. And at one time I told Bert, I said, I don't think I can do this anymore. And he said, what you're supposed to be, you're just supposed to be who you're supposed to be in Christ and not worry about anyone else. And that did help free me to some extent. I mean, women, I guess, are always going to care about what people think.
Well, let me tell you an experience we had, Alex, and I'm not going to say which church, but one of the committees that interviewed me, possibility of being their pastor, their first question was, tell me about your salvation experience. And I said, oh boy, this is going to be fun. The second question was, does your wife play the piano?
Of course.
And
I knew I was in trouble.
Yeah, that was so I do have a little bit of a, I don't know what you'd say, smart aleck, is that what you'd say, Jan?
Something like that.
And I said, no, but she plays the clarinet. Will that help? And Alex, believe it or not, they still call me as pastor, even though Amen. I was trying to, find something funny to say. But it's been a journey up and down. The people is what you remember the most, though. Jan, after we had not full-time pastoring and we were connected with AFA, we got our three sons together, and we were able to ask them, and it was separate, who were the people that you knew, the couples and individuals you knew loved you for just being who you were?
Amen.
And all three boys named the same people that they knew they were loved by them. And listen, when we have children, you love our children. It goes a long way. So Pastor Appreciation Month, it's not just the pastor, so not just his wife, but also if those children involved, appreciate them because their world is a little bit different than a lot of people's, Alex.
Exactly. Hey, before we go too much farther, for those just tuning in, this is Exploring the Word with Alex McFarland. We're talking with Bert Harper and his wife, Jan. They're at the Fishbowl Retreat, which is just one of the most important ministries that I know anything about. And I know it's too late for this year because this year's in process, but give your website in case in the future some very wise people might treat their pastor to a wonderful visit with Bert and Jan. What's y'all's website?
Okay, you can go to, I'm pretty loud there, but anyway, they can go to our website there at AFA and, the foundations and that repairing the foundations, make it plural, and they can always find the information there. We will be doing this next year in October. We haven't set the exact date, but that will be coming soon. And so we've had about 40 couples. I'm rounding it off a little bit. We had more than that when you count all the staff that we have, but it's about 40 couples. And I counted at one time, I thought it was 14. Someone had to drop out. So I think it's 13 states that they've come from all over to be a part here. We're at Pickwick Landing State Park, and the facilities are beautiful. It's right on the Tennessee River, and the lodge is just a beautiful sight. And Ray Pritchard has been our Bible teacher this year, and just awesome preacher and teacher of the word. Jan and I share together and go through everything. And it's relaxing. It's a retreat, Alex, and not a conference. You know, in conferences, it's one sermon or one lesson right after another. No, we have retreat because one of the things we want to happen. Well, Jan, would you mind telling them what we want to happen when the couples come together? That would be better from her.
Well, our desire is having just a safe place for pastors and their wives to come and just be who they are, and a place for encouragement and challenge as well. We also want it to be a place where friendships can be established, and because sometimes pastors and their wives deal with loneliness, and it helps to have friends in the ministry. And we've also observed at the retreat that marriages can get strengthened and pastors refreshed and renewed to continue the ministry. Because it gets easy sometimes to just want to forget it all because it does get so tiring and hard. But while here, they also do receive prayer support as they are safe to express their prayer needs. And we want the AFA Fishbowl Retreat to meet needs for fellowship of for the pastor and his wife, but also a place to make lifelong friends. And we've observed this happening through the years.
Bert, have you ever had people that you and Jan have ministered to and they maybe confessed that they were planning on leaving the pastorate, leaving the ministry, but through what you all are doing, God solidified in their heart to keep on the journey? Have you had people recommit?
We have, and it's been a joy to watch that and see that. And what's neat, Alex, is those who have experienced that and felt the renewal of their marriage and the ministry that God's called them to come back and be a part of it and encourage others. You remember that scripture, you'll comfort others with the same comfort that you've been comforted with. That works at Fishbowl, and Jan and I have been through. It's been difficult at times, and it's been always rewarding, but it's been difficult. It's been enriching. So a lot of that takes place, and we're able to identify that and share that. And when they hear Jan and myself speak, they know that here's a pastor and his wife that has been there, done that, and lived through it. And matter of fact, we've been rewarded and blessed. And listen, again, Fishbowl is that place. The reason we call it Fishbowl, I've observed it. They go to a store, and they get the cart, and they put their different merchandise in it. And we've observed folks coming on, and while they're talking with us, they observe what all we've put in our cart. And they Fishbowl. Our sons experienced this, and one of our sons, you know, it was just an innocent thing about Christmas and mistletoe and girls going by and him saying, yuck, and the teacher telling our son, said, and you're a preacher's kid? And I thought to myself, what in the world does that have to do with it? You're the one that put the mistletoe above the door. And preachers and pastors, it's rewarding, but also it's their own set of, I would say, difficulties and expectations in that fishbowl. We try to bless them and encourage them and challenge them to keep going on their marriage, working in their marriage, which also encourages them to stay where God has placed them, Alex.
Amen. Hey, we've got a break coming up. Alex McFarland here along with Bert and Jan Harper. You guys, I want to say thank you for the great work you're doing. Bert, you truly are a hero to me. You guys both, as men and women of God, you guys are prime examples. So we're going to come back after this with more on Exploring the Word. Stay tuned, everybody. We're back after this brief break on the American Family Radio Network.
If ending babies' lives in their mother's wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, The Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the vice president nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chances at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax-deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. I love that song, Living He Loved Me, Dying He Saved Me. My Redeemer is He. Hi, Alex McFarland here. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. And, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And yesterday, as we were finishing up Romans 16, like in verse 6, Paul is closing out the book of Romans. And he has a list of, if I counted correctly, it's like 29 names. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And he talks about the Christians who laid down their own necks for him. And he talks about all these people that the old King James says, Paul said, they would succor me. That's the old King James way of saying they ministered to me. They held my arms up. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Now, here's my point. And we're going to go to calls here in just a few moments if you've got a Bible question. But when I worked for Focus on the Family, and I think about Focus on the Family because about 3 or 4 hours ago, I got interviewed by Focus on the Family for one of their upcoming shows. It was a great honor. I worked with a dear man. Some of you are going to remember this name. His name was H.B. London. And he was a pastor in California for 40 years and just a great man of God. And it was Dr. Dobson's cousin. H.B. was the vice president of Focus, and James Dobson was, our boss. It was a great start. I thank God for the years I worked at Focus on the Family. But I got to work a lot right alongside H.B. London, and he started a ministry called Pastor to Pastor. Now, H.B. has long since gone to heaven, but he used to tell me, I remember we would be riding to an airport or something, and I would maybe speak to the youth, and he would speak to the grown-ups. But he said, Alex, so many churches don't have a pastor, and it's much easier to try to encourage and refresh a weary minister's family than start and have to go look for a pastor. And I know that sometimes churches can go 2 or 3 or 4 years looking for a pastor. So let me say this. If your church has a good minister and a good minister's family, love them and appreciate them. And look, if you're holding out for a perfect pastor, I don't want to disappoint you, but there are no perfect people. There's only one, like Jan Harper said in the first segment, only the Lord Jesus. Jesus is perfect in every way. We humans are fallible, and we all have feet of clay. But let me tell you this. If you've got a man that loves the Lord, believes the Bible, preaches the word, loves the people, is true to his spouse, pray for him and thank God for him, because I tell you, they're not easy to find. They're really not. And it's been said, I don't know the exact stats right now, but at least 20% of churches, that's like one out of five churches, doesn't have a senior pastor right now. And, I mean, that's bad. You know, the Bible says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. And so one of the things that we're to pray for, Bert and I did a message on the most neglected prayers. And one of the prayers that we are to pray is that God would raise up Christian workers. And so we need good pastors. And I know, listen, foreign missions and sending people internationally, I'm all about that. But we need shepherds in the United States as well. Can I get an amen? And so, anyway, I'm glad it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and I'm very, very thankful for Bert and Jan Harper doing what they do through Fishbowl. Well, we got Bert back, and Bert, are you there, my friend?
I am. I appreciate it. Listen, Alex, I have a new appreciation for what you do in going from place to place and setting up the Comrex.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is kind of a role reversal, isn't it? Because it's usually me that's in the far-flung remote parts of America.
Yeah, well, it's not that far away, but the connections, they can be difficult, but it's good to be back. Phone, it's great. But I appreciate Amen. What you have said about the pastor and his wife, and October's a great, great time. Matter of fact, even this month, as you know, I'm an interim pastor at Unity Baptist Church. They're Amen. Close to home in Tupelo, and they gave a gift this past Sunday of pastor appreciation. I got a phone call from one of the men, or a text from one of the men, saying, we're praying for you and Jan at the Fishbowl Retreat. And I want to just tell you, you're talking about, I've been at it a long time. That was encouraging, Alex.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Hey, can I brag on Angie for a minute?
I was waiting for you to do so. If you weren't, I was going to.
Well, you know, let me say this. The greatest joy, and folks, please take this to heart. The greatest joy is to know the Lord Jesus and then to build a family, with God's help, to build a Christian home. But I'm going to say, second only to Christ and family is the church. And Bert, I'm just saying, Angie and I got married 35 years ago, and I mean, I could count on less than two or three fingers the Sundays we weren't in church. I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just saying, church, to us, being a part of a good local church is like breathing, right? So I'm on the road preaching, and there's a church I've been helping out called Mount Pleasant Church in rural North Carolina. Been helping them out a little bit since January, and I'm on the road a lot, but I've helped them because they didn't have a pastor. So listen to Angie and thank the Lord. About three nights ago, I got a call that a certain family had the father, who was an older gentleman, he died. And it was sad. He was a Christian, but the mother had died just a few months ago. So this family, two bereavements within the space of about 3 or 4 months. And they texted me. They said, Alex, where are you? And I said, well, I'm actually in Colorado en route to Texas. But Angie would go, and I called Angie. It was 11 o'clock at night. And she said, oh, absolutely. She went up to the hospital and prayed with this family and ministered to them in my stead. I was 1,000 miles away. I just want to say, and I know you would concur, thank the Lord for godly ministers, men of God, but thank the Lord for the godly wives that are the helpmate of the pastors. Would you agree?
I agree fully, Alex, and that is a great story. And I just want to tell you, those churches that do not want to appreciate their pastor's wife, it's to the detriment of that church. It's just God says the two shall become one, and we're to serve as one. Now, that doesn't mean that, you need to expect your pastor's wife to be herself. And
yeah, exactly.
With the gifts that God's given her and the talents that God's given her, that, you know, bless her by letting her use those gifts and talents and not put your own expectations on it. And it's free and it's liberty for everyone. And So I found that's true with Jan, and I just say encourage Jan. I said, man, you're my wife, and that's your calling. And and so that's what we're doing, and she's used her gifts in teaching and children's choirs, and it's always been a blessing for me to see her observing. The pastors that are out there, listen, love your wives. That's what the Bible says. And I heard it. I forgot which preacher it was, but I know I heard Adrian Rogers say it, Stephen Alford say it, others say it. Said, guys, if you don't love your wife, you're not teaching your congregation how to live the Christian life. Demonstrate loving your wives as a pastor. And I haven't always lived up to the expectations they even had of myself, much less others. But it's a blessing when you got a husband and a wife that love one another, and they're your pastor and his wife, Alex.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me ask you this, Bert. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, Alex and Bert, Exploring the Word, we finished Romans. We're going to start Philippians tomorrow. So if you want to read ahead, we're right at the right place where you can join with us as we start a new book tomorrow. And we will take calls in the next segment. I'm going to give that number. You can get in the queue. If you've got a Bible question or a question about church or anything, the number is going to be 888-589-8840. Again, after the break, in just a minute, 888-589-8840. Bert, I'm going to change gears on you. Maybe of the multitudes listening across America, there might be a man listening who is wondering, am I called to preach? Am I called? And by the way, folks, I want to say ministry begins in the local church. But before we talk about missionary, evangelist, some of those things, but let's talk about the call to preach. Bert, what advice do you have for some listeners that may be wondering, is there a call on my life to full-time ministry?
Good question, Alex. Let me say, if you're a born-again believer, you've been called of God to minister. Now, that ministry may be something different, or it may be something that some people's called vocational ministry, pastorate in that area. And here's what I said. Why do you feel like it? I've asked them that. What do you feel? And they can express that, and I've heard it expressed many ways. Here's what I did. I said, okay, let's start. Let's bloom where you planted, and I give them opportunity to speak and see what they say. And I said, now, don't go on your first time. If you speak the first time and you feel like it's a complete failure, I said, join the crew. I tell folks, if my first sermon, if it hadn't been for the uhs and the ahs, it had been about 5 minutes in place of 15 minutes. But Alex, you start, you see, observe, and God will reveal. I think it's revealed. You catch what I'm saying? As you serve, I believe God's will and purpose for that vocational ministry full time, I think it will be revealed. Now, a lot of the guys that are here at this fishbowl this year, they're bivocational. And man, I appreciate
God
them.
Bless them.
But let me say one more thing, and I'll turn it back over to you real quickly to this. But right now, even in the Southern Baptist Convention with you both, you and I, the number of churches that are without pastors and can't find any is growing. And so I pray that those guys who are listening, they would say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do, even pastor. And I think God can equip them. If he's called them, he will equip them, Winnie Alex.
He will. He will. And let me say, folks, oh, my goodness, I well remember when I was feeling like God was calling me to the ministry. Bert, I was so insecure, and I was so much doubting myself. And, Pastor Mark Sink, I've mentioned him many times, but he asked me to speak at Baptist Men's Day and share my salvation testimony. All I thought about was, I'm not adequate. I can't do this. I'm afraid to get up in front of anybody. But I did know how Jesus saved me, and I could tell that. One day I got under conviction, Bert, because I thought, look, all I'm thinking about is how weak and limited I am. I'm obsessed with my limitations. I need to think about Jesus, and fear or no fear, I need to get up and talk about the Lord and stop fixating on my limitations. And is fear one of the ways Satan keeps some people back in the shadows?
Guess what fear does? It paralyzes. It makes you stay still. Yes, and you'll retreat into those shadows. And perfect love overcomes that fear, and you love the Lord, and you start expressing that. You don't have to give a doctrinal statement the first time you speak. Alex, I think what your pastor, Saint, did for you was just perfect. Share your testimony, because when you first start preaching, you better preach on some things that you have, you know a little bit about, and you may know a little, you know about your salvation, and you get into the Word, and I think God will reveal it. And I don't want to overuse that word, because I think it's an important word. As you walk in the light, He will reveal more to you. So if you'll obey Him, when they ask you to speak one time, speak and see what God does. And He'll, I think He'll let you know, Alex, I do.
Yeah.
But we are praying that God would send laborers into the harvest, because the laborers are few, and it looks like they're getting fewer, in the area of pastoring. So we're praying for that.
Bert, let me ask you a question. And by the way, I'm just relishing this opportunity to glean from your wisdom, Bert. All right, in any local congregation, 25 people, 100 people, 500 people, in any local church, Bert, are there people with a call on their life to full-time ministry?
I had the call on my life 2 years before I shared it with a church. After I shared it with a church, we're talking about a church that runs around 100 people, the church that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. I would say a dozen people came up to me and says, "I was wondering when you would do it, Bert. We did it all alone." And so I believe there's people out there that can do it. They can speak. Hey, let me just share with you. There's not too many Billy Grahams or Adrian Rogers or David Jeremiahs. And if you want to compare yourself to them, listen, I don't think very many of us would say, "Okay, I'm ready." No, God wants to use you. My professor at Blue Mountain College said, "God does not make cookie cutter preachers. Each one of you is an individual with different gifts, with different abilities, with different personalities, and God could use you with those gifts to preach the Word of God and to lead and to teach others." So, Alex, yes, I believe the churches have those people in the pews right now, and they need to say, "Lord, I am willing to be and do what you want me to do."
Amen. Hey, folks, 888-589-8840. Call us with your Bible question. We're back after this. We want to hear from you.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
I've had a hard time finding the blue in the skies above me. And if I'm keeping it real, I've been half faking the happy they see. I may look like the same man, but I'm half the man I was. It's been a hard year, it almost took me down. But when my world broke into pieces.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland and Bert Harper. Jesus is Lord over the United States of America. Now, some people hadn't got the memo yet, but we believe Jesus is Lord. And the number, if you want to call in with a Bible question, is 888 859-8840. Hey, let me say, I'm so excited. This weekend, I'm going to be in Silverton, Texas. I love those people. This is just outside of Lubbock, Silverton, Texas, First Baptist. If you go to my website, alexmcfarland.com, Saturday we have a prayer rally. It's going to be in downtown Silverton, Texas. Sunday I'll be at First Baptist. I would love to see you if you're in that part of the country. Then another thing, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I want to give a big shout out to Pastor Bob Weathers, First Baptist Church of Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, Charlotte is down near Wilmington, and I'll be there November 16th. We're having a biblical worldview conference. It's going to be phenomenal. First Baptist Charlotte, that's spelled S-H-A-L-L-O-T-T-E. And Bert, I'm just so honored for the churches around America that open their doors and we get to evangelize the lost and equip the saved. And what a joy. We love the church throughout the USA, don't you and I?
We really do. And Alex, God has equipped you in a unique way. And I'm just saying this as somebody that's observed you for evangelism and equipping. A lot of times, somebody has one and not the other. But you're one of those, and I say it as honestly and truthfully as I can, you are a unique individual in the ability for the evangelism and the equipping together. And so God's using you in that way, and churches are recognizing that. And guys, those of you listening, if you get Alex, you'll be blessed, evangelism and equipping. So you're getting a lot for Alex coming. So Alex, we'll pray that it goes good in Silverton and there in North Carolina.
Well, to God be the glory. Hey, we've got some calls and questions. Mr. Brent Austin.
Yes, sir.
If you could tell us, where shall we begin?
All right, guys, we're going to go to Bob in Iowa. Bob, thanks for calling.
My question is, who is going to be in the millennium period? And Alex, you made an interesting comment a few days ago about that. So that's my question. I'll get off the line.
Well, Bert, it's wonderful. We get a lot of questions about the end times. And let me just say this. There are a lot of scriptures, Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, of course, the book of Revelation. Bert, as I read the scriptures, I believe in the millennium, after the Battle of Armageddon, Christ is literally physically back on earth. There's 1,000 years of peace on earth. Now, there will be in the millennium here on earth, there'll be the redeemed of all the ages. There'll be some people, born again people that survived the 7-year tribulation. I think predominantly, almost exclusively, born again Jewish people that go alive into the millennium. There will also be some toddlers and children that enter the millennium and need to accept Christ and be born again. And they'll have the greatest degree of revelation of any people group in world history. But Bert, there will be a lot of people here on earth during that 1,000 years of peace where Christ himself will rule and reign from Jerusalem.
Amen, Alex. I wrote down as Bob was asking that question, I said, the saints that were left, that's those that make it through the tribulation, and then saints returning, those that come back with Christ, and we will be there. And then those that are born during that period of time. And again, it's going to be a great reign. Finally, we will have that place that everybody's been looking for, quote, and I'm using the world's word, the utopia. And it will be that kind of season for 1,000 years. Bob, by the way, one of the pastors we have here at Fishbowl, he's from Iowa, and two of them. We got one from two parts of Iowa. We got two pastors and their wives here from Iowa. They've come all the way down to Tennessee to be a part of it. So appreciate our listening audience, don't we, Alex?
We do, in Iowa. Thank you, sir. Okay, Brent, how about next?
Let's go to William in Ohio. William, thank you for calling.
Just a more general discernment, biblical discernment question. First of all, I appreciate y'all and your ministry and keep up the great work. The thought occurred to me about biblical discernment when you're hearing about the different so-called heresy hunter ministries that, you know, seek to expose false teachers and or questionable teaching. What's your thoughts on that? And then a parallel question is, you know, when a person is exposed, a former pastor or leader who's exposed as a fraud or at least has stumbled and deceived, what is your opinion on, you know, using their resources, their books that were highly acclaimed after they've been exposed?
Okay, great question. Can I go ahead, Alex?
Yeah, you know, a lot of my life has been in apologetics, which is defending the Christian faith, making a defense of the claims of the gospel. Bert, I will say this. Sometimes I am a little bit careful about apologetics. And I mean, my whole adult life has been in apologetics. And I'll tell you why, because sometimes people in apologetics get to where they feel like they alone are biblical and orthodox and the whole rest of the world is in error. And where there's, I mean, if it's something like a denial of Jesus or a denial of the Bible, I'm not afraid to call out error, but I think it gets unhealthy to look for a heretic under every rock. But to the caller's point, I'm a little bit careful about how I use the word heresy. Now, heresy or heterodoxy, here's a word for it, orthodoxy is, you know, we get the word orthopedic, and it means the fixing of a broken bone. And orthodoxy is like in the word in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, where Paul told Titus to, quote, set things in order. Orthodox teaching is truth, biblical truth. Heterodoxy is error. Heresy is a denial of some of the core tenets of the gospel. Okay, Jesus is the one and only Son of God. That's orthodox truth. Christ alone shed his blood to wash our sin away. Some heresies of our time, one is universalism, that all people go to heaven irregardless. That's false. The idea of homosexuality being okay and gay marriage being commensurate with monogamy, heterosexuality, that's false. So the caller used the term heresy hunter. I'm a little careful about the people that want the whole world to be wrong and they alone are correct. I believe in standing for truth, but I also think we have to realize that there's more people than just me that knows what truth is. But Brent, where next? Where next shall we go?
All right, we're going to go to Janet in Montana. Janet, thank you for calling. Okay.
Hi, Alex. I'm calling because my husband and I have the Life Application Study Bible.
Right.
And we enjoy that. We want to give some gifts to family members that are new Christians. What would you recommend for a study Bible?
Well, that's a good one. I've got one of those that was given to me, and I use it a lot. The Life Application Study Bible, I think, was published by Tyndale. There's a lot of really good study notes. Let me ask you, is this one of the ones, is it pretty large and thick and heavy?
It's not huge, but yeah.
The one thing about it, and I know this might sound, I don't know, silly, maybe it's just me, you don't want one so big that it almost intimidates, you know, a young Christian. So try to find one that is not huge in size, you know, 9 or 10 inches at the most, maybe about 5 to 7 inches wide. But I think the Life Application Study Bible is real, real good. And another one that I think is pretty user-friendly is called the Holman Christian Study Bible, H-O-L-M-A-N. It was published, I think, by Lifeway. But God bless you for giving people a Bible, new Christians. I think that would be a wonderful gift. I commend you. Brent, where next?
All right, we're going to go to Chris in Tennessee. Chris, thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to call and ask a serious question. I guess because I see a lot of, you know, hear a lot about the Sabbath and all that, but I see where Jesus and Paul's tradition was to keep the Sabbath, and I do know that it's in the Ten Commandments. My question is, how do you feel about the or do you keep the Sabbath, and how do you feel about the Sabbath? And is there any scripture where I should be keeping the Sabbath?
Oh, great question. Great question. Well, let me say this. Hebrews chapter 4 in the New Testament says that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. So pious Jews before the resurrection of Christ, I want to be very clear. Keeping the law was not the plan of salvation ever. Habakkuk 2, which was written at least 400 to 500 years before the birth of Christ, says this, that it is by faith we are made right in the sight of God. We are justified by faith. Now, how did the Old Testament believers get saved? They put their faith in the Messiah that would come. We look back at the Messiah that did come. Same Jesus, just two different sides of the cross. Romans chapter 4 says, Abraham believed God, in other words, faithed God, and it was accounted to righteousness. Now, what the law did, and keeping the Sabbath was a part of the law of Moses, but the law was not the plan of salvation. The law showed us how desperately we needed a Savior, because we Jews of old and us today, we look at the intricacies of God's law and we say, oh, Lord, have mercy. I've broken these things. Now, Jesus told the people when he was in Matthew chapter 10, he said, I, the Son of Man, am Lord of the Sabbath. Isn't that amazing? In other words, that Sabbath that you've kept for centuries, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. So if you're in Christ, you have kept the Sabbath. Now, I want to say we dare not add something to the gospel. Now, so the requirement to keep a Saturday Sabbath, we have that fulfilled by virtue of having believed in Jesus. At the same time, I want to be clear. I do think it's healthy. I do think it's wise to keep a day off, a day of rest. And listen, I say this a little bit with fear and trembling, because I like to work, I like to be on the go, and yet I really try to keep a day just to tune out, unplug, be with Angie, be a Christian and a husband. Now, it could be on Saturday, it could be on any day of the week. I think it's very healthy to take a day that you truly, honestly, you know, get off the grid, shall we say. But I want to say this about Sunday worship. The early church, and it's been documented, this was within 2 to 4 weeks after the cross. It's amazing. Gary Habermas, H-A-B-E-R-M-A-S, Gary Habermas documents this, along with, there's a great scholar named R.G. Dunn, D-U-N-N. The early Christians were worshiping on Sunday morning. Why? They abandoned a religious Saturday Sabbath within 30 days after Calvary's cross. Why did the early church worship on Sunday? Because that was Resurrection Day. And they didn't have to religiously, obsessively keep a Saturday Sabbath anymore. So, sir, I appreciate your desire to follow the Ten Commandments, but if you're a born-again believer, you are in the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus. Okay, one last call this go-round. Brent, what you got?
All right, let's go to Chris in Kansas. Chris, we don't have a lot of time. What's your question?
Hey, real quick, just a big plug. I got Tim's new book. It's a great book. Everybody ought to get a hold of it. Hey, reading Hebrews, just a little confused about Melchizedek. Tell me about Melchizedek.
Great question. And by the way, I love Tim's book too. During Share-a-thon a couple of weeks back, I saw Tim's book. It's a series of essays he's written. Phenomenal book. I would urge you to get it. Melchizedek in the book of Genesis, he at the very least was a follower of the true God, and he comes out and blesses Abraham after a victorious battle. And the question is, and this is one equally good godly people are divided over, was Melchizedek an Old Testament appearance of Christ? I don't quite think so. Bert says he thinks it was. Don't know. But it says Jesus, just like Joseph, David, Solomon, Jesus was the fulfillment of all these prophecies. Jesus is God incarnate. Melchizedek was one of many Old Testament figures that was pictorial of the one true Messiah that would come. And the best book on that by far is by James Borland, Christ in the Old Testament. You got to check that out. Hey, Alex McFarland, Brent Austin, Bert Harper, thanks for listening. We're going to come back tomorrow with more Exploring the Word. We hope you'll join us then. Blessings to you all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.